adults, please remain standing and turn in your Titus chapter 2. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. I love seeing all the kids walk back downstairs. We got a lot of kiddos. Titus 2, 3 through 5. All right, here we go. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, and that the word of God may not be reviled. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. And as we go through these verses this morning and preach about them, Father, let it challenge all of the men here and the women, Father, to grow in their faith with you, to grow closer to you today, to examine our lives as we honor mothers today, and we look at your biblical example for that. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you've noticed for today that we're getting away from, you may be seated, well, we're getting away from the book of John, right? Because we've been preaching through the book of John, and we like doing that. But today is Mother's Day. And I want to tell you guys, being a mom, not that I know, but I see that it's tough. It's tough. And so we want to honor moms, grandmothers, godly women, even if, like Tryson said, even if you don't have kids yet and you're, or you aren't going to have kids, you're a godly woman. Today you help raise kids at Crossbridge, because I know, hey, it takes more than just the actual mother to help raise kids. It's a tough job. No mother's perfect. Motherhood is not an easy job, but this is one of the greatest gifts that God gives. And I'll tell you, guys, our culture has embraced to its greatest value personal happiness over motherhood and fatherhood in Scripture. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Dangers of divorce, the acceptance of sexual immorality in our culture, and a preoccupation almost with taking self and our self-fulfillment. And all of those things have taken a toll on families in our country. And family, the family culture, it's not good in the state of our country right now. You see all the kids that grow up without fathers and mothers, grow up in single parent households, and it's the statistics on those kids graduating or going to college are just not good when we don't follow the biblical example that God gives us. Motherhood, Scripture says, it's a ministry. It's a ministry of teaching, of preparing kids to follow God in their life, to be an example for other ladies in the church to love Jesus. The Scripture here, Titus is ministering to Christians who lived in a world just like today, where there was violence and dishonesty, immorality. It was a picture of a lot what we see outside our doors today. And these Christian women, he gives them an outline. These Christian women were trying to be godly, and they were living in just a supremely ungodly world, in an ungodly society. And so he gives them some outlines on, hey, this is how women are supposed to teach and train, and that's what I want to preach through this morning. And the first one in Titus here, it says for them to love their husband. Let me back up just a little bit. In verse 3, it says, older women, likewise, are be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So he's talking to ladies that most likely are going to be 60 and above that have raised kids, and they're supposed to be setting an example for the younger mothers in the congregation. And so what are they supposed to teach them? What are they supposed to show them? The first thing that it says in verse 4 is that they're supposed to love their husbands. That marriage, their marriage, should take priority over every other relationship that they have. That loving their husband should be the first thing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This is a famous one. Well, I'll tell you what. When I'm going through pre-marriage counseling with somebody, before I agree to marry anybody in a service, I make them attend pre-marriage counseling at my home. And I always read them this scripture, and we talk about this scripture because God outlines marriage here. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. And we're going to focus on the wives this morning because it's Mother's Day, but fellas, you're going to get your turn when Father's Day comes around, right? But it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." So here in this scripture, God lays out how he wants the family to work. He lays it out right here, where the principles, how we should run our homes, that the husband and wife love one another. And guys, it says the wife is supposed to, once again, submit to her husband. But he uses the analogy and talks about Jesus, not even an analogy, but uses that Jesus died for the church. So, fellas, that doesn't mean that we hoard over our wives and we berate them, or we love them the same way that Christ loved the church, right? So this marriage relationship is a priority. And let me say, ladies, I'm sorry this morning if you don't like that, or the world is going to tell you to even not go by that. They're going to tell you to be your own woman. And feminism is a huge thing in our culture. It's just a huge thing. And let me say, most of it is a very ungodly thing because it goes against the way God's designed for marriage. And I'm sorry, ladies, this morning on Mother's Day, if you don't like that, that's just the way it is. That's what God's word says. So we have to go along with God's word. There's lots of times, I'll tell you, when I'm reading scripture, I don't like what it says because I don't like doing it. But see, it's not my choice. I don't have the choice. I have to follow what God says. And this is what he says. When the marriage relationship is done the way it's supposed to, the husband and wife are going to be pleased. The children in the household are going to see how to have a successful marriage. You're supposed to be showing them what does it look like to be married. I mean, I'm very fortunate. Slee and I are very fortunate that both of our parents are still married. There hasn't been divorce there. And let me say, I think a big reason for that, that none of her sisters and brother or my sister, none of us have ever been divorced. Because we've seen a godly example on how to live in a marriage. And so we should be doing that for our kids. We should be showing them what it looks like to have a successful marriage and how a husband is supposed to lead a household. Fellas, I'll tell you, on Mother's Day, I want to talk to the guys real quick, and it's not even in my notes, but one of the horrible problems in our country right now is that men don't lead like they're supposed to. That mothers are trying to take on two roles of being the dad and the mom. And I'll tell you, it's not the way it should be. And those households are dysfunctional. Moms are doing the best they can. But men, we need to step up and take our place the way we're supposed to. And let me say, Christian men, if we see other moms in the church that are hurting, that need help, that are single moms, guess what we need to do, fellas? We need to help those situations too. That's taking care of orphans and widows. So we need to step up here. So the first thing, this marriage priority, it has to be in the right order. Now let me go back to this though. This is in contrast to the ungodliness that we see in the world, where personal happiness is placed above this. I want to be happy. You know the number one reason people give for divorce, especially women? You know what they say? I don't love him anymore. I just don't love him anymore. Let me say this morning that loving your spouse is a choice that you make. You choose to do that. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So God uses marriage as an analogy for love. Marriage is a picture of Jesus and the church, right? I guarantee you that Jesus didn't wake up crucifixion morning and think, "Wow, today is a great day to be whipped and beaten and put on a cross and spit at and slapped. I guarantee you he didn't wake up and think that, right? And be nailed to a cross and die. But as we've been talking about in previous weeks, why did he do that? What did we talk about last week? Ultimate love, right? He did that because he chose to do that. He chose to love. So he uses that analogy just like we have to choose to love, right? So love is a choice. We choose to love or not. Let me say, falling in love with your spouse is really, really easy. I mean, when you first meet them, the fireworks are there, and you know, you love one another, and you're excited to date this person, and wow, it's just awesome, right? But staying in love takes work. So we must work on loving our spouses. So when they forget, listen, when they forget to put their shoes up after church, or they're the last one to use the roll of toilet paper and not replace it, or they send you to Walmart for milk, and you come back with like fishing tackle, and you don't bring the milk, it's hard to love, right? Pray for my wife. It's hard for her to love me sometimes. I guarantee it, right? Some of us here are hard to love, but choosing to love is a choice. So we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to love, right? And godly women love their husbands. So he starts off with that. That's the first thing. It started off there. Love your husbands. That's a godly example. Everything else in the house flows from there. Love your spouse. Everything else starts from there, right? Everything else goes from there. Now, the second thing in verse 4, love your children. Now, listen, our world has this backwards. We're supposed to love our kids, but that does not mean that we give them everything that we want, that they want. We don't give them everything they want. We don't make sure that they have to keep up with the world. We don't let them make their own religious decisions. I've heard people say this. Well, I want my child to make their own decision. I'm going to let them read or teach whatever they want. No. I mean, my kids aren't going to be allowed to read the Quran. If they decide they want to read the Quran, they can do that when they're 18. When they're living in my house, we have a godly home. At least I do my best. They're going to follow the God that I serve. Not the one that they want. They're not mature enough to make those decisions. So loving your kids, it takes discipline. That's the word here. Loving children requires a few things, and the first one's discipline. Proverbs 23, 13 through 14. Proverbs 23, 13 through 14. Says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Man, that's tough. That is a tough verse right there. You know what it's saying? If you love your kids, you're going to get on to them. If you love your kids, you're going to discipline them. If you love them, you're going to discipline them. If you don't love them, you're going to let them do whatever they want to do. And let me say, guys, I want to touch on this again. Our culture is missing this. I don't know. It's been 20 years ago since I graduated high school. 20 years. But I remember when we were in school, people worked. We worked. We had to earn responsibility. If I wanted to drive, I had to buy my own gas. I had to work. Mom and Dad didn't give me everything that I wanted. They made me work for it. They instilled discipline on me. If I didn't work for it, I wasn't going to get it. We have to do the same thing. We have to teach our kids these things, right? And I know it's Mother's Day, but I'm talking to both parents this morning. Teaching the Christian worldview, teaching them about Christ. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. Says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let me go on. Let's keep reading. 2:17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know the important words I want you to highlight this morning? Since childhood. That means since they were a kid, since Timothy was a child, he was taught Scripture. We're going to find out by who here in a minute. But he was taught Scripture from as a child. That's why teaching our kids God's Word is so important. Now, I was aggravating Selena a while ago, but I get to time this morning, I can brag on my wife, right? Every night, my wife reads Bible stories to our kids, the little kids, Hunter and Sydney, every single night. There's on your phones, you can get an app called YouVersion for Kids, and you can take them through and read them Bible stories. She does that every single night. That's why we talk about Bible drill so much. That's why I pump Bible drill. Get your kids in Bible drill. We put a huge emphasis on it. It's teaching kids to hide God's word in their heart. You know who works with our kids in our house on Bible drill? It's not me. It's her. She does. And she says, you're going to do it. In fact, poor Savannah. She just tells Savannah, you're going to do this before homework. This is more important than homework. You're going to study this before you do your homework. And I think that's good. That's okay. Now, if you're a teacher out here, I'm not trying to say doing homework's bad, right? I'm not saying that. But I think if we taught kids, even kids of the world, more about God and Scripture, we wouldn't have the issues that we have now. If we taught them God's Word. That's why, hey, I'm in favor of teaching Scripture in school. It'll correct them. What's it? It's profitable for what, again? Correction, teaching for reproof, for training in righteousness. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important. Teaching them about Christ. Next thing, teaching them to love Jesus. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world's going to teach them not to. If I don't make a conscious effort to teach my kids about Jesus, the world's going to teach them not to. Listen, I mean, it's great. We have an awesome staff here. They do a great job with the youth. They do. They teach them. They do a good job teaching. They're only with our kids for 2 hours out of the week. If that's all the teaching that we give our kids, we are failing. We got to be teaching our kids about Jesus at home, right? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we start teaching them when they're young. We start showing them about Christ. We teach them who Jesus is. Turn to Acts chapter 16. This is one of the greatest examples. I love this. It so gives me hope for my kids. Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But in verse 25, starting in verse 25, as we read through there, this is about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were thrown into jail, and there was a Philippian jailer that put them into the inner stocks. And they were rough on them. They had been roughed up and beaten. And God sent this crazy earthquake. And all the walls of the prison, all the chains fell off. And this guard was about ready to kill himself. Because then if you were a guard and any of the prisoners escaped, your life was taken. And Paul and Silas stopped him and said, no, 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 don't kill yourself. We're all still here. We're all still here, right? And this is what happened. Go down to, where's it out here? Going down to 30. Then he brought them out and said, sirs. He fell down. In verse 29 says, he fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And in 31, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once. He and all his family. You know what that tells me? If I teach my kids about Jesus, if I preach to them about Jesus, if I talk about Jesus, there's a really good chance they're going to become followers of Christ. They're going to be saved. And that should be my most important priority as a parent, talking to them about Jesus. Next thing is just caring for their emotional needs. Their physical needs. 2 Timothy, this is the verse I told you about earlier. Paul speaking to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:5. Ladies, this is an awesome verse. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and he recognizes that women have played a huge part in his faith. These women were his grandmother and his mother, who had passed on their faith to him. So let me ask you this morning, this is a question for us. Are we passing on our faith to our kids? Timothy would not be where he was in Scripture if it wasn't for these women in his life that were passing on their faith, that were passing on their faith to him. So, I'm thankful. I'm thankful this morning for my mom, who I know will hear this afternoon. She listens every week. But I was ornery as a kid. I am thankful for my mom that she passed on her faith to me. And I'm thankful that my wife does that. And husbands, if your wife does that, I want you to thank her today, and your mom and your grandmother. My grandmother's 92 years old, sitting in the nursing home here in Marshfield what's the one on South White Oak? Marshfield Care Center, and she still leads a Bible study there. You see, that doesn't mean that tells you that faith gets passed on from generation to generation. So be mindful of what we're teaching our kids, that our faith is getting passed on. So let's honor our mothers and grandmothers and our sisters as women of faith and encourage them to pass on that faith. Listen, in a world where lots of women, and it's okay, lots of women work outside the home. My wife works part-time, but she works a full-time job with kids, but she works part-time outside the home too. Still, the most important job is inside the home, loving your husband and your children and teaching them. Third thing here, now we get into some areas of growth where we can grow in our sanctification, right? Go back to Titus chapter 2. Let's read them again. Titus chapter 2. We talk about loving our husbands and our children. And then in verse 5, we're going to go through these. It says to be self-controlled. Be self-controlled. In the King James Version, it says discreet. The New American Standard says sensible. New Living Translation said live wisely. Basically, it means to be sober-minded. The young woman is to think about what she is doing with her life, basically. Right? We should be known. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It influences who we are, what we do. 1 Timothy 2:9 says, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. You know why I put this verse in here? Because this is so important. Because we live in a culture right now that says sex sells. And ladies, I want to encourage you this morning to live and dress in a way that your daughters can look up to you. That your daughters can look up to you. Listen, if we teach, and I condone, if we teach our daughters to dress like trash, don't be surprised when boys want to treat them like trash. So we need to teach our daughters to dress modestly. This ties right along into this. 1 Corinthians 7:4 says, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. So what's that saying? That says that your body belongs to your spouse, right? Your spouse, not somebody else. So we shouldn't dress like our bodies belong to the world. We should dress modestly. Now, I'm not like a big prude here where everybody say, you know, you got to wear dresses all the time. I'm not saying that. You know whether we dress modestly or not. I mean, this doesn't take brain surgery to figure out. We should aim for this, right? Now, right now, all you fellas are like, man, this is awesome. Preach it, brother. We're talking about our wife's body is ours, right? Go home and cook your wife a nice meal, all right? And feed her some ice cream and watch a movie with her today, okay? We'll talk about the other on Father's Day. But be modest, ladies. And we need to encourage our young ladies to dress modestly. The next one here in verse 5, it says to be pure. Be pure. Now this is about your commitment in your marriage vows. Now we're talking about our commitment in our marriage vows. Turn, and you're going to be very surprised because I've never heard a preacher preach out of it, but turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 7. I have never heard a preacher preach out of this book, and I'm going to right now. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. And I don't know why, because it's an awesome book. And I'm going to read the whole chapter to you. It's 13 verses. And it's about purity in marriage. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O noble daughter. How rounded thighs are like your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of a master hand. Your navel is a rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat enriched with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bathrebon. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which looks towards Damascus. Your head crowns you like Carmel. Your flowing locks are like purple. A king is held captive in your tresses. How beautiful and pleasant are, O loved ones, with all your delights. Your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I will say, I will climb the palm tree and lay a hold of its fruit. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the scent of your breath like apples, and your mouth like the best wine. It goes down smoothly for my beloved, gliding over lips and teeth. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Come, my beloved, let us go out in the fields and lodge in the villages, and let us go out early in the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded, whether the grape blossoms have opened, and the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes give forth fragrance, and beside our doors are choiceful fruits, new as well as old, for I have laid up for you, O my beloved. Man, it's hot in here now, isn't it? Now listen, this is a picture of a healthy sexual relationship in marriage. In marriage. This whole book, the Song of Solomon, is that's what this is about. This whole book. That's why preachers never want to preach on it because it gets hot in there, right? But this whole book is about that. Between a relationship between a husband and wife. No one else. This goes back, ties into modesty. This is for your husband and wife and nobody else. So we need to be pure and holy in our marriages. Guys, gals, if you're viewing pornography, you are not keeping your marriage pure. I talk about this. You know why? You need to repent of that if you are. Because 80% of church-going men view pornography on a regular basis. And it just shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. We need to remain pure for our husbands and our wives. We need to remain pure. All right, now we have a spiritual influence in the home. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. You know what that means? That means if you're here and your husband is not a believer and he's not a follower of Christ, you don't get divorced. You love him. And you show by example your love for Jesus, that he could be won over to Christ. Now, this is tough. This is tough. This isn't easy. But remember what we talked about earlier. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. We choose to do that or not. Working at home is the next one mentioned. Christian homes are created. They just don't happen. It takes work. And as we talked about earlier, there's no greater responsibility than working in the home. Kindness, listed in verse 5. Kindness deals with doing good, being benevolent towards others, having hospitality, having a good nature, being friendly with people, having a smile on your face, being kind. Ephesians 4:32 says what? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Well, make sure you understand that. It's not easy. I never said it was easy. It's not easy. We're supposed to be kind. All right, last one. Submit. Submit to the husband. God has an order. It's like we talked about earlier. God has an order in the home. The husband is the leader. That leadership is a responsibility. It's a loving care. When a husband is loving and responsible for his family, providing for them, caring for them, then the submission will easily follow. Even if he's not doing those things, he doesn't give you an out there. It says, be submissive. So take your position that God ordained you to have. The husband is not a dictator. He is not a dictator who hoards over and gives strict orders and is mean and hateful. It's in a loving way. And once again, it's compared to Jesus' relationship to the church, that he was willing to give up everything. Guys, everything. Everything for the church. Now listen, all of what we've talked about this morning, as I get ready to close here, all that we've talked about goes completely against what the world will teach you. It goes completely against that. It goes completely against us. The world says, look out for numero uno number one. Look out for yourself. You take care of yourself, right? God's word doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. It says, love your husband, love your kids. Live out the fruits of the Spirit in everything. Be modest, be pure, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. That goes against everything that the world says. So in review, quick review. God says, number one, what's the first thing? Love your husband. Your relationship with him should take priority over everything else in the home. Love is a choice. Guys, love your spouse. Ladies and men, love your spouse. Love your spouse. That should be the number one thing in the household. Second, love your kids. Discipline them. Teach them about Jesus. Care for their physical needs, their spiritual needs. Talk about Christ. Teach them. Encourage them. And then, finally, start growing. Growing in your sanctification. Be self-controlled. Have a pure marriage with your spouse. Be kind. Know that your most important job, whether you work a 40-hour work week outside the home, that your most important job is in the home. And submit to this biblical leadership of your husband that God outlines. It's not, hey, I know this is foreign to what the world says, but this is what God says. We can't argue with it. We may not like it, but this is what he says. And this is how he challenges us. We're going to have an invitation this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. I know that this is tough stuff. I know that it's... and hopefully today this was an encouraging... I know it was challenging, but I want to encourage you moms and you husbands to encourage your wives. Show them love. Care for them as they're doing these things. But all of this, let me say though, all of this is only possible if you have a relationship with Christ. All of this, that's the first thing. You know, it's a given in this text in Titus that you have a relationship with Christ because he's talking to believers. So you have to start with a personal relationship with Jesus. And do you have that? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord of your life? And maybe we talked about something today that you're convicted about. Maybe it's, fellas, maybe you've been convicted of something. The Holy Spirit has been hitting you here while we're going through this, saying, I'm not doing this the right way, and you need to come and pray. Maybe, ladies, you're convicted of something this morning, you need to come and pray. Maybe you're here this morning, you need to join this local body of believers. Maybe you're here and you just need to look at your spouse and say, thank you for all that you do. I don't thank you enough. Thank you for all you do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word and how challenging it is, just week after week, for us to grow in our relationships with you. Lord, and I ask this morning if there's people here that don't know you, that your Holy Spirit has convicted them, that they will not wait another day before becoming a follower of yours. And if we're here this morning as husbands and wives, that, Lord, you've given us an outline of what you expect of us. If we're not meeting those, that we will repent of that and turn to you. Lord, I love you. I want to honor our mothers this morning. Father, we honor our mothers and all that they do, and our grandmothers, and it's so influential in our faith and our children's faith. And so I'm so thankful for the godly women that you've placed in my life, from my grandmother to my mother to my wife, my sister, all the godly women, and Lord, all the godly women here that I'm not physically related to by blood, but I'm spiritually related to them by them being my sister in Christ, and how they help my family through their prayer time and just supporting us. I'm so thankful this morning for the moms. We want to honor them. We want to honor them by honoring you this morning. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to run. Heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. Fear is gone. because I know.
Off mute here. I want to say this morning, men, I got your back, okay? I know we get around some of these holidays and life gets busy. I don't want anyone sleeping on the couch tonight. So I did something this week. I called Sue over at Roos Flowers and I said, Sue, I need a bunch of roses. And we're going to pass out, the kids are going to pass out roses to you ladies this morning. You're welcome, men. They're getting roses today. The kids are back in the back as you're leaving today. They want to honor you, ladies, with a rose this morning. You're very, very important and special to us. I love you. Appreciate you guys. Here's the closing benediction. I thought it was very appropriate for today. It's out of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 25 through 30, and it says this: strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning again that we could come into your house to worship and honor you this morning, Lord. And as we lift our ladies here this morning up to you, Father, give them the strength, one, to put up with us men, Lord. Give them the strength to do that. But Father, give them the strength to face this world and the things that this world will throw at them, Lord. And let them, Father, teach our younger ladies and our daughters just what Proverbs here just said, Lord, to be dignified and to honor and love you. We love you this morning. Be with us as we leave here today and we go out into this world. Let us shine bright our lights for you. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.